Welcome to the Defense and Aerospace Report podcast. I'm your host, Vagha Mradian. Our podcast is brought to you by Bell. Since 1935, Bell has been redefining flight. Learn more about its pioneering spirit at bellflight.com. We're continuing our coverage of the Air Force Association's annual Airspace Cyber Conference and Trade Show, this year being conducted virtually. Joining us now is Major General Bill Cooley, the Special Assistant to the Commander of the U.S. Air Force Materiel Command, who oversees the top priority effort to digitize the command and the industry that supports it. The digital campaign conducted its first virtual industry day just a few weeks ago. Sir, it's great to reconnect. Obviously, a great event a couple of weeks ago, and certainly an extraordinary initiative that you're engaged in. Well, you know, for those people who are not as familiar with what the digital campaign is, I mean, it is really a transformation across the Air Force Materiel Command. Walk us through the scope and breadth of this, because it is truly a massive effort. And if you can tell us why it's so important.
Thanks. First of all, thanks, Vagha, for having me on your show, giving me an opportunity to take a moment and explain some of the things that are going on within AFMC, specifically to bring about what we like to call, you know, a 21st century transformation to our processes, to the way we develop and sustain weapon systems, and for that matter, virtually everything that we do. So as you know, Dr. Roper just published his matrix-inspired vision, and that's very helpful because it helps to frame some of the objectives that we're really pushing toward. But excuse me, even prior to that, we had been really trying to align ourselves and identify what are all the key activities that we have got to get after to update our enterprise. And it is, as you know, an enormous enterprise and undertaking. But we see no other way to respond to the challenge, the strategic challenges that the chief has been asking us to go do, right? The threats are accelerating, and we've got to bring speed with discipline in our development, or we are going to potentially, you know, run the risk of not prevailing on the battlefield in the future. And so it is about bringing, you know, the latest and greatest fabulous technologies that Air Force Research Laboratory and our industry partners bring to bear. But we've got to be able to do this quickly. And so that really requires, you know, the digital capabilities that we've seen and witnessed in industry. So some of the things is we've laid out six lines of effort that we believe cover the waterfront of activities, and all of those things, all of these are directly supported, and in fact we're sort of rethinking to make sure we're fully aligned where Dr. Roper is trying to drive the Department of the Air Force, and we're also closely coupled with our Space Force counterparts at SMC and the team out in LA. They have been part of this team from the beginning because we recognize that the enterprise has got to be coupled across all of our capabilities if we're going to realize this vision, you know, to digitize and bring speed in capability development and sustainment. So I know there's a lot in that, but I'll just briefly talk through the various activities that we've been engaged with. So, you know, one of the things that General Munch has talked about is infrastructure. You know, right now, some of our IT infrastructure is not where it needs to be. I'll just say that to support this digital future. And so we have a specific effort to make sure that we understand what is that IT infrastructure we're going to need and how are we going to start getting that. And there's a lot of other activities across the Air Force engaged in that. We're talking to them. We're leveraging them. You know, we're not trying to take over anybody's job or, you know, get in there a certain lane. We just want to make sure that the workforce gets the infrastructure that we're going to need. Another piece of this is what we're calling an integrated digital environment, and this is really this is the tech stack. I mean, Dr. Roper is right in that this is about having a tech stack that has the models and the data and the tools, the software tools to be able to move quickly. He uses the analogy or the example of Formula One racing. I'm not, you know, intimately familiar with Formula One racing, but the speeds, but the idea is the same. The idea is, you know, how can you build out a model-based systems engineering capability such that you can flush out in the digital world and understand the performance trades and the expected performance in the environment that you'll be using it, you know, rapidly, so that you can quickly iterate on designs and come to solutions that will be optimal. And so, but that you got to do that, you've got to have an integrated digital environment with the right tool set and access to data to make that happen. So that's another significant line of effort. This next one is the data standards and architecture. One of the things that we realize is we are not going to be able to benefit from digital capabilities unless we have an architecture and a framework to build everything with, such that it'll plug together and work well. And you see this in ABMS. I mean, that's kind of one of the challenge or the real thrusts within ABMS is to ensure that all these systems can be connected together and work without, you know, a heavy lift and, you know, I'll say proprietary designs and plugins and all those kinds of things. And so trying to drive the enterprise to understand, first of all, what are the various architectures that are out there, government reference architectures. And I won't digress too much, but architecture is a little bit of a loaded term. People interpret that differently. And so we're trying to bring clarity as to what that means, such that the government can define the architecture, the framework, the framing of the house, and then still leave latitude for industry to come in with their with their competitive advantage ideas and their intellectual property and plug in to work within that framework. And so that's one of the key things that we're working. And then, you know, you obviously the stand up of the CDO and the need to have authoritative data accessible. So we're trying to make sure that as we build out this digital campaign, that we comply with all of those things and that it actually works, right? It's one thing to set out a policy memo. It's another thing to implement. And we're really trying to focus on getting these things implemented.
Let me ask you about a little bit about that implementation, right? I mean, so that's the magnitude of the task. The chief and Dr. Roper have talked about sort of accelerate change or lose, right? To try to frame this in as stark terms as possible. Two-part question. One, how long is this going to take to do, given that everybody has their own architecture, right? Lockheed, for example, has a different approach than Boeing does, for example. Various parts of your own organization have different ways of managing their digital data, as you said, I mean, right, that infrastructure piece. As you try to get your arms around this and to create this master plan that drives the outcome, do you have any sense yet on whether this, you know, can you do it in 2 years? Is it a 10-year thing? Is it a $1 billion thing? Is it a $10 billion thing? Like, have you gotten your arms around the mechanics of all of this? Is the first question. And second, have you created some sort of board or oversight body where everybody can sort of play together and exchange this information in terms of building that structure?
Hey, no, those are great and very hard questions. So the answer to your first question is it's a continually evolving process. I mean, it is yes, sort of, and it depends. We have cost estimates, we have timelines, all those kind of things. The challenge that we have, the chief has talked about this, is, you know, we are in a resource constrained environment, and we're entering what's probably going to be an even more challenging resource constrained environment for lots of reasons that we don't need to get into. And to make this transformation, it's going to take resources and time. And at this point, I can't tell, you know, there's not a budget line that says, you know, digital transformation that you know is going to make all of this happen, right? So we're working with programs to make it happen, to leverage investments from various programs and learning, right, from other programs. So I can't, you know, give you a price tag as far as the timeline. You know, I'm a crawl, walk, run guy, and that's the way I have seen things at scale actually, you know, get rolled in. And so there's a number of, I'll say, smaller projects, you know, where we're learning from. And what we are intend to do is to scale. Now the question is how rapidly can we scale to the broader enterprise? We have some, you know, this is going to be a journey, right? So to specifically answer your question, you know, I believe this is going to be, you know, 5-10 year journey, because this is about also not just about, you know, bringing tools and IT infrastructure stuff. This is about culture. This is about the people and how we do our business and the processes that we use. You know, one of the things that Dr. Roper talks about is the agile software development and this idea of DevSecOps and DevStarOps. And that's how do you build out an infrastructure and a process that allows you to continually update without, you know, slowing down, you know, when you make an update, okay, let's stop and do a bureaucratic pause. And we're going to look at this and make sure we can, you know, we've got to integrate these things in a way such that we can move rapidly. So, that is going to take time for us to iron out and get good at and build our culture. Cause right now that's not the culture of the development process. So that's one of the key lines of effort, is that workforce training and culture. And, you know, it's been said that culture eats strategy for lunch, right? And unless we can start to move the workforce and change the way we think about our processes, we're not going to realize the benefits, right? And so, so I know that's not a very satisfying answer. There's no, you know, but in terms of timeline, yeah, we've laid out all sorts of different, okay, well, you know, this is what we do best in government acquisition, you know, is program management, right? Cost, schedule, performance, you know, and the challenge that we have in doing that is we don't have certainty on resources. And we're trying to sort through, okay, what are all the other elements and stakeholders that we need to leverage to make this happen, bring about this transition.
What are you doing on that culture change piece of it, right? Because you're a former Air Force Research Lab commander, PEO, have a lot of acquisition and engineering experience. In fact, you have a PhD in engineering as well. And you and I, when we've spoken in the past, you did talk about the importance of culture change and driving speed in the organization. What are some of the things you're doing and incentives that you're putting in place to drive people out of their sort of comfort zone where fast is measured in, wow, well, we got it done in 2 years, to the kind of fast I think the chief, Dr. Roper, you and General Bunch are talking about, which is, right, months, right, as we saw in the case of NGAD, the next generation air dominance aircraft, take it from an electronic design to a flying article and do it in record time. And if we understand Dr. Roper correctly, this was not a prototype. This was an article, right? This was closer, maybe less science project and more sort of meaningful outcome, right? How are you driving that cultural change process?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So first of all, I'm not close enough to the NGAD program. I'll let General White talk to the details on that and Dr. Roper speak about where they are. But your question is a terrific question. And, there's lots of books written on this. The way we are looking at this cultural change is, I think to a large degree, our workforce is really smart. And there's a lot of skepticism, right, about, okay, wait, you know, we'll see whether or not this comes about. So people need to start to see examples of what's in the realm of the possible. What can you really do? And what are the tools that you need to do? So we're rolling this out. We have a number of, we're working a number of videos. We're actually trying to, you know, we're learning from the environment that we live in, right? What's the first thing most, younger generation folks do when they want to learn something? I suppose, well, they go to YouTube and they, you know, look up videos. And in fact, that's what probably you and I both do. I know I do that. You know, when I have to figure out how to do something, I find those things tremendously helpful. So we're in the process of making some videos that will help explain to our workforce what it is we're trying to do and start to give some examples. Beyond that, there's also a lot of training, right? There's the traditional training avenues of approach, and we know how important those are. One of the discussions we've had in our across the campaign is, you know, a lot of this is still the basic goodness of systems engineering, right? It's not like there's some easy button, like you can ignore systems engineering now because we have these digital tools. No. You got to understand those things. So there's a lot of importance. We don't want to like convey somehow that we're throwing the bait, you know, throwing all these practices out. We've got to be careful as to, okay, what are the things that we can streamline and go faster? And maybe there are things that we don't have to do, but this is about, you know, General Bunch is very clear. This is speed with discipline, right?
Right.
So we cannot lose. I mean, the advantage that the technology and capability advantage that we have is because we have just outstanding airmen and we have outstanding systems, right? And it's because we have a discipline in the system. So we can't lose that as we accelerate. And so that's, one of the aspects. But so how do we morph our culture into embracing these speeds with example, all the traditional ways, right? Examples of successes. I think Dr. Roper has highlighted the GB as the ground-based strategic deterrent, GBSD program, as a great example. I mean, it's in the early stages, but they've been able to really flesh out, you know, this enormous option space. I mean, that's as complicated a weapon system as there is. And really understand, hey, where are all the trades? There's lots of knobs and parameters you can change. So how do you think your way through that? Well, there's no way you can do that in the physical world, but in the digital world, you can go do things very rapidly and get to an optimum solution. And that's exactly what they've done and driven towards. So those types of things serve as an excellent example of what the future holds for us to do. But, you know, that's on the front end. I really cannot overemphasize the life cycle. Okay. The entirety of the life cycle has got to get on board. So we're working closely with the sustainment community and using PLM type tools, the product lifecycle management tools, which help them, you know, keep track of all the parts, data, drawings, suppliers, all of those things, which, you know, are costly, but they're essential to keep our systems mission capable. And so this is about the entire enterprise connected from the very early stages of idea generation all the way through sustainment and retirement of systems. So that's what the way we're trying to think about it. And that's one of the reasons why we try to sort of parse this problem out. We're looking for examples across every element of the life cycle that we can start to convince ourselves, learn from, and get the culture movement in that direction also, because people need to see, oh, that's what this looks like, right? That's what we're going to do differently. And so those are some of the things that we're talking about. I will the final thought on that is the why, right? You know, I like Simon Sinek and you got to start with why, right? Because our people are smart, and if they understand why we got to go do this. So the chief is doing a great job of explaining, hey, this is about speed. We got to accelerate or lose, and I think that resonates with the workforce. And so we're learning from, you know, the industry, commercial airlines, commercial automobiles, all those folks, and saying, hey, it is in the realm of the possible. So we're trying to bring those examples also so that our culture and our people can go, oh yeah, this is possible. I can see how to do it. Because if we tell them what we need to go get accomplished and why, our workforce is going to help us do that.
A lot of this is about what you're going to do, but some of this is also what about what you're not going to do, right? I mean, in any digitization event, one is the structure, right? The architecture, as you said, right? The infrastructure to handle it. And on the other side, it's the data that you decide that needs to be digitized, in part because your command has a lot of very digitized data and then has a lot of very not digitized data. And yet, given the thousands of things the command has worked on over its many decades of delivering air power excellence, not to sound a little bit like your bumper sticker, but is ideas from the past that actually may be relevant for the future, given the extraordinary breadth of technology that AFMC has been in the vanguard of developing, stretching all the way back to the 1920s. What have you got, wrapped your mind around what becomes digitized, what it doesn't? If you need something, how do you do it fast, right? How are you thinking about that?
Well, I will tell you that, you know, I hear two aspects in your question. The first is, what are we going to stop doing at the strategic level so that we can free up resources and focus them and prioritize, right? That's a discussion that I have no doubt the Air Force leadership, the chief and the secretary and everybody are wrestling with to try and figure out, okay, how do we free up resources to go make those investments? That's a tough question. That's not specifically what we are focused on in within the campaign. We know those discussions have to take place, but we're not going to solve those here. We do think that there's going to be cost savings and speed and all those kinds of things, but that's a bigger question. What I hear in your question for us is really related to the are we going to digitize everything? What about things in sustainment and those kind of things? Because it takes resources. And the answer is every one of those, we're going to have to, we know that, and we need to think them through, right? And so I'll give you a for example, the B-52, right? Well, my goodness, that thing's been around for forever, right? Are you guys going to start trying to digitize that? Well, I will tell you that working with General Newberry, I believe that he that's exactly where he wants to go. And the reason is very sound because, and I want to let him speak to this, but when you talk about continuing to have a fleet of aircraft in the inventory for, you know, decades to come, it probably makes sense to digitize things. If you're talking about retiring something in the next, you know, 5 years or whatever, well, perhaps not. Right. Let's just use the processes because it's the you're not going to get return on investment. So we are well aware of those trades and we're working through them. And you know, the as you probably know, the answer in this acquisition business is it depends, right? And that's if you learn anything at Defense Acquisition University, that's it. The answer is always it depends. Okay. And that is absolutely true relative to your question. And we've got to think through on each element of that. So that's kind of the way we see it. We know we're going to have to think those things through. We know that this is not a one size fits all, but I will tell you, we are absolutely committed to digitizing, moving to the 21st century, and working across the, you know, Department of the Air Force enterprise, right? Working with SMC and RCO and everybody, because it is an entire enterprise that's got to, you know, connect and click together as we move forward.
Well, let me ask you one last very quick question, which is, right, another two-part challenge you have, right, is how long it takes you to do the whole thing. But you're also now in the nascent plans development part of it, right? Like, so what does our strategy look like to achieve what it is we want to do? How long do you think it's going to take for you to settle on a plan, an architectural approach, and the plugins that will then shape the broader investment and the implementation part of it?
Depending on how I interpret your question, I could go lots of different ways on that. Let me just say this. I mean, right now we have a broad plan that, you know, consistent with, you know, where Dr. Roper has articulated his vision in, and we agree the digital trinity he talks about are central to and actually coupled together to bring about this vision. And so so we're working against those. But to your question, I think I would say that I'm working closely with Ms. Kristen Baldwin at AQR and the policy folks who are have the pen and have the responsibility to put in place some policies and say, okay, we're all going to be consistent with these sets of architectures or whatever. I'm in discussions with them on a regular basis to try and set the stage for that. But here's the thing. we want to be very careful. We're learning. We're trying to think these through about the second and third order effects because it's the unintended consequences that will too often bites you. And so we're really trying to think through some of those things before we start putting in place the specific policies. Right now, Again, I go back to our smart workforce. We're saying, look, this is, and Dr. Roper did a terrific job of putting that vision out there, saying, look, look, folks, this is where we need to go, right? And lean on them to start, and provide them with the tools and resources and visibility on various architectures and standards and those kind of things. So that's what we are doing. And we will use that policy arm. I mean, you know, Dr. Roper and Kristen Baldwin and others, as we see needed. Right. But I will tell you, I think that most people who've done this a while know that you have to be very careful about telling everybody, OK, we're all going to do this. Right. Because back to the answer and acquisition, it depends. A lot of times you need to think through, OK, we may say this is a policy, but we better have waiver and ways to, because there are going to be cases where it just doesn't make sense. Back to, you know, your question about, are you going to digitize right. everything? Well, no, because it depends. We got to think through, right. Does this make sense? And so that's what we're in the process of, really understanding those types of things. If you will. I don't know if that answered your question.
No. It does. What would you say is going to be your single biggest challenge doing this that you've identified, right? I mean, the thing that, you know, you spend more time thinking about in terms of it being a potential problem, or even, you know, as you, Dr. Roper, and General Bunch discuss this, you know, what's going to be the biggest issue and hurdle you guys are going to have to overcome? And do you think you got a good enough bead on it?
That's a great question. I think that the, I'm going to go back to sort of the culture discussion before, you know, there's a lot of people who want to lean into this and everything, but you know, making it real for the entire culture, where everybody feels that there's, that, you know, that they have an equity in this and that they have a role and responsibility to bring about this change, right? That's the cultural change that I think we need to get to. Because if folks are sitting back and saying, oh, someone's going to show up and give me a digital tool and I'm off to the races I go, right? That's not the way these things work, right? This is leaning in, learning, understanding, so that we can go fast. And I think most of our workforce is ready and willing to do that, but trying, my view is, how do we feed that fire such that, you know, it builds up rapidly and brings about the implementation? That's where I see the greatest challenge. I will tell you, Vago, just one last comment. You know, what we've discovered in this campaign is there are pockets of goodness all across the Air Force, just doing fabulous stuff, using these tools, using these ideas, you know, across, in all sorts of different pockets. The problem is a lot of them are not connected and talking and even aware of one another. And so that's kind of one of the things we're trying to do, is to connect and say, okay, look, these guys have a really good process. Let's grab that and scale it out. Right. And so there's been a lot of that going on also, is identifying where's the talent, where's the good practices that are already in play, and how can we leverage those to scale?
Sir, thanks very much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Vago. Appreciate your time and the opportunity to talk about what we're doing within AFMC and broader than that, to bring about a 21st century digital capability.
Thanks very much again, sir.